And now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Callie from, well, originally Orange County and now from Bakersfield.
Hi, my name is Callie. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a little nervous. I didn't realize how many people were going to be in this meeting until I stood up here and looked out, and I was, well, there's a lot of you. Anyway, so my sobriety date is January 11th, 2017. I appreciate the enthusiasm. When I first got sober, I wasn't very enthusiastic about being sober. And I want to say welcome to the newcomers, and congratulations to all the chip takers. It's really a big deal. And when I was new to these rooms, I didn't realize why it was a big deal. And I certainly didn't understand why so many people were excited that there were newcomers and why hands were reaching out to me and people were giving me hugs. And I like that this group gives hugs like this. When I was new, I just was so uncomfortable in my own skin that getting a hug from somebody was like, don't touch me. Like, that's just, don't come near me. I don't want any sort of, like, love. I don't deserve any sort of love. And I just really thought pretty poorly of myself. This is not my first sobriety date. My introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous was back in 2010, so if you do the math, clearly I haven't stayed sober from the first time I came into these rooms straight through, but for me, that's a part of my story, and now that I'm in this place, I can see, like, I needed that experience in order for me to get sober, and I can't say for certain, like, yes, this time I'm never going to drink again, but I do know that if I just keep coming back and working the steps and working with my sponsor and working with other alcoholics, that I don't have to pick up a drink again if I don't want to. So, like I said, I first came into these rooms back in 2010, and I was, 21 years old, and my drinking career wasn't obviously very long, so I don't have a really long drunk log. I started drinking really heavily when I was 17 years old. So if you do the math, I didn't have a super long drinking career, but it was obviously long enough for me to realize that I had a serious problem and I wanted to get sober, or what my version of sober was at that time, which wasn't very sober. It was more of like a controlled drinking, and I had all sorts of strange ideas about what Alcoholics Anonymous was. When I came in, I would sit down and I came to meetings because I thought I could get sober essentially through osmosis. Like, if I was around other sober people, like, I wouldn't want to drink. And come to find out, like, I'm a real alcoholic. I'm going to pick up that drink no matter what, unless I take the steps. I started coming to meetings, and I thought it was like, this is kind of like a social club or like group therapy. So I would sit in meetings and like raise my hand, and I would just like talk about me, because that was really easy for me to do. Like, I love to talk about me. That hasn't really changed. You ask me a question about myself, and I'll go on for the next 5 minutes about way more than you were like, whoa, I didn't mean to ask that much. But I'm selfish and self-centered, and so all I think about is myself constantly. And as an alcoholic, like, that gets really tiring. Like, sometimes I just want to shut that off, and that drink provided me that relief. It just turned everything off. So from a pretty young age, I felt other than. I feel like, you hear that in meetings a lot, but for me, that's just how I felt. And I remember hitting like 12 or 13 years old and just being like incredibly depressed and being like, there's something really actually wrong with me. And I don't know what it is, but I just know there's something not right with me. Later come to find out it's like this hole that I have inside of me that I need to fill with something. And so for a while it was alcohol, and today it's Alcoholics Anonymous. Growing up, I'm originally from Orange County, grew up in Huntington Beach mostly. I lived in other parts of California, but for the most part grew up in Orange County. it didn't really have, I wouldn't say like a difficult upbringing. My parents divorced when I was really young. You know, so my mom essentially raised me, and then when I was 9, my father passed away pretty abruptly from cancer, and for a lot of years I spent time drinking over that or saying that this is the reason I'm a fucked up person is because my dad died when I was young. And I couldn't take responsibility for anything that I had actually done in my life. I just blamed everything on that for a long time. Despite that, I still look back and I feel like, I had a pretty good upbringing. My mom did the best that she could. We were fairly middle class. I grew up in a wealthy area. And so, you know, when you're somebody that always feels less than anyway, you know, growing up around a bunch of rich kids, I was like, man, I don't have all this cool stuff that they do. And so that just contributed to feeling less than. So I don't know. And I was like a pretty like weird kid anyway. I didn't really like fit in with the cool kids. And like around 8th grade, I like really started to embrace that. And I was like, I don't care. I'm different, whatever. And I had this best friend and we would hang out together. And so we took our first drink together too. And spoiler alert, she's also a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. So it just goes to show how well that worked out for her and me. But we took our first drink together, and it was like immediate relief. And it's interesting to me, like I always find it interesting that like I can remember that memory like it was yesterday. Like whenever I question whether or not I'm an alcoholic, I need to think about like those moments of like, wow, I can remember my first drink, like the most vivid memory, like what that felt like coming over me. But I can't remember like what happened 3 days ago. Like I'm like, well, hold on, what day was it? But I could tell you like what I was wearing that night that I got drunk the first time, and like what we did. Like we walked to this liquor store and then we walked to our friend's house and we just didn't really do anything, but it was just like I felt okay inside. And my drinking didn't really take off from there. As a kid growing up, I had an older brother who was 8 years older than me, and he's probably one of us. He's not sober today. But I watched kind of how my mom handled that situation, and it made me pretty fearful of her. And so I didn't really test it too much. Like, for me, like, I'm such a perfectionist that, like, drinking, even though it provided me relief, like, seeming to be perfect was more important to me at that time. So I didn't really, like, my drinking didn't really take off. And then my friend, her drinking did take off. And so she got sober before I did, and she ended up being my introduction into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm really grateful for her today because she's still sober, and without her, I don't know if I would have gotten here when I got here. And I really needed some help when I got here. So through high school, I was a pretty good kid. Like I got good grades for the most part, but I also like just really struggled inside. Like I was just a really like depressed teenager. Like, and I found escape other ways. So, you know, I would like nerd out and read, or like I would find television, or I would listen to music, and I was just trying to find ways to like not feel how I was feeling, and it wasn't really working. And then I drank again, and I was like, okay, this is it. Like this is really like I have confidence. I can go out and do things. I can be social. I can like talk to people. I don't have this weird social anxiety. And my drinking escalated pretty quickly. Like I'd like to be able to stand up here and say, oh yeah. So I started drinking and we would have these fun parties, but like I started drinking pretty heavily, pretty quickly. And I remember thinking like, and alcoholism runs in my family. There's a lot of alcoholics in my family. Like even growing up, like I had this image of what like an alcoholic looked like. Like I had a great uncle who we would go to his house, and he had wet brain, and he would just be like, ooh, and you know, he would be drinking curdled milk and things like that. So in my mind, that's what an alcoholic looked like. And so when I was like 17 years old, being like, I can hold my liquor, why can't any of my friends hold their liquor? Like, that was not like any sort of like on my radar as being a problem. Like, I'd get to a party and I'd be like, oh, everybody else is drinking. I just got here. I better catch up. So I'm going to sit here and drink like three drinks while they're all probably just on their first drink going like this. Like, even to this day, when I go to a restaurant, like if there's water in my glass, I have to finish that water before I get up and leave the table. Like, I just, like, it's so, like, I, later on I waited tables and it used to amaze me that people would leave like alcohol in their glasses. Like, what is wrong with you? Don't you know that there's like, there's alcohol still in there? Why would you leave that? But I had no conception of like when to stop. And for me, like, because I could hold my liquor pretty well, like, it wasn't really a problem. Like, I wasn't getting like wasted and blacking out. It was like, I could drink you under the table, and it was a proud thing for me. Like, I would challenge dudes. I'd be like, I'm going to drink you under the table, and this is going to be hilarious because I'm going to be successful at it. And so I went off to college. I went out of state because I thought, I need a new experience. I need to, like, I don't know. It was a geographic change for me that I thought maybe would, like, solve some of my problems, because deep down I was still struggling with that hole inside me. And so I went up to Oregon, and that's when I started, like, drinking alone. And thinking like, no, this is kind of not very good. Like, I don't know if this is normal when you're 18 and like drinking by yourself, but I felt like too shitty inside, like, to not drink, you know? So I was like, this is a solution for me right now. And I was there for 3 months because the rain was making me depressed. So I was like, I need to come back home. It wasn't anything like that was going on with me that I could fix with myself. It was everything on the outside that I needed to change. So if I just got back to the sunshine, I would start to feel better. And that wasn't the case. I didn't start to feel better. I just started to drink more. And I think around that time, I decided I was going to get, like, a fake ID. All right. I don't know what that is, but it's... Okay, so I guess I'll continue. anyway, yeah, so I just drank more, and I got a fake ID because, like, my friends got one too, and they were like, well, we're getting fake IDs so we can go to the bar and the club, and I was like, ah, I just want to buy a bottle. Like, I don't really care about going to the bar or the club. Like, I just really, like, that's why I got a fake ID, and to me, like, that opened up, like, access for me to buy, like, alcohol, and, like, my drinking got worse, and so I was in college, and I was like, man, this college thing's really getting in the way of my drinking. So I, like, stopped going to class. But then I also needed a job, and I was, like, not really qualified to do much other than, like, work in retail. And so I got, like, some retail job that I was, like, really unhappy at and wasn't making any money. I was, like, making minimum wage, and I was like, this sucks. Like, I can't drink as much as I want to, and I'm making minimum wage. So I decided, like, I was going to be a dancer. And so I was, like, 19 years old, and I was still kind of going, like, getting through college a little bit. Like, I was, like, one of those dancers that I was like, no, I really am in college. Come on, man, believe me. But, like, I mean, I wasn't really, like, doing super well at it either. And I don't know, I always say, like, you know, you're not, like, really in a good place when you get, like, fired from the strip club. Like, you're just not doing too well, like, when you can't even hold down your job at the strip club. But that's, like, and I always, like, I'm like, do I share this in a mixed meeting? And, like, well, but it's part of my story. And, like, the reality is, like, that's how bad it was for me. Like, I was getting wasted, and, like, for me, I have this bad habit of, like, when I drink, I think that I can fight guys, and I don't know why, but I'm that girl at the bar that's like, I'm trying to pick a fight with you right now. I don't want to fight a girl. I want to fight you. And then I've been lucky lucky enough where a guy has never actually hit me in the face for being really obnoxious and drunk and rude. But so anyway, I got fired from the strip club because I hit the manager in the face, and he was not happy with that. So he said, "You have to go." And I was like, "All right, I will." And so it was not hard to go get another job as a stripper, but and I lived in Southern California, so there was like lots of options. So I was like, all right, bye. But for me, it was like I liked it because it allowed me to drink. Like I could wake up at 10 in the morning and pour rum into a clear bottle, and I thought, well, I'm not really getting too drunk because like I'm not, and it's not drinking and driving because I'm driving, but I'm not like drunk yet. Like I'm just getting my buzz on, and it's different. And I'm not really sure what delusion I told myself when I was like driving home, but I was wasted driving home, and I actually never got a DUI, which I don't know how that happened because I always drove drunk. Like I just was always drunk. So I had lots of places to be, so of course I had to drive there to get there. So I was always driving drunk. And I was dancing, and I would like start drinking like 10 in the morning, and things were going pretty well with that because I got to be drunk 24/7 essentially. Until like they weren't, until it stopped working. And I'm not sure, you know, if I was like just done, or if I just knew like this whole like drinking all the time thing just wasn't like working out for me. But I was trying to get through college, and I was like on the verge of being expelled, and like I was just like, maybe I'll try not drinking. Like maybe this is part of my problem. And I think at the time too, I was going to see like a therapist, and the therapist was like, maybe you should try not drinking. Because in between, so the other thing that I don't necessarily go to jail when I drink, but the other thing that happens for me when I drink is like I spend some time in some mental institutions because I just kind of go crazy. And so I think after like the second time of spending some time like in an institution, the therapist was like, your drinking sounds like it might be problematic. Like I can help you with this other stuff, but I can't really help you get sober. And so I was like, huh, that's weird. Why not? And so I was like, okay, maybe I'll try like not drinking. I'll just try it. So I called up my friend who's in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was like, hey, I know you're sober. Like, I know you got sober when you were like 15 because, you know, she had drugs got her here sooner, and I don't know, alcohol just kicked my ass really quickly. But she was like, yeah, come to this meeting. And so I went to this huge women's meeting, and everybody was like so excited that I was new in there, and I was like, oh, leave me alone. And so I go to this meeting, and everybody's like, oh, we're so glad you're here, and you should get a sponsor, and you should work some steps. And I was like, huh? I'm not as bad as you, though. Like, I don't need all that. I mean, I can't really hold down my job at the strip club, but I'm not as bad as you. It's not the same. Like, I'm okay. I don't need a sponsor, and I don't need steps. So I tried that for like, I don't know, a couple months, and I wasn't really even staying sober, but I really liked getting chips and like claps and applause from people, so I took a lot of dirty chips. And I was definitely that person in the meeting that I would like show up, and like 2 weeks later, like 1 week I would take like a 30-day chip, and 2 weeks later I'd be like, yeah, I think I got 60 days now. And so I'd get up and go take a 60-day chip, and people were still just like, yay, good for you, you keep coming back. And I was like, I will. And and I would just share like nonsense in the meeting, and everybody still loved me. Like nobody was like, like, you're a crazy person, get out of here. That was my experience in life. I had, like, by that time I had, like, blown off all the people in my life. I didn't have any meaningful relationships, and because everybody was like, they'd get to know me and they're like, you're a crazy person, you drink too much, when you start to drink you get really angry and you want to fight, and I don't really want to be around that. And so, like, I get to AA and people are like, come on in, we're crazy too. And I was like, I don't know, okay. But I couldn't stay sober, and I really, at that time, I really couldn't figure out why. And I was like, I couldn't figure out why I couldn't stay sober. So, you know, a couple months go by, and I'm just sort of in and out, taking lots of dirty chips, still getting my hugs, and like, I relapse, and I start drinking, like, more heavily. Like, I was trying to, at that time, I was really trying to control and enjoy my drinking, because, like, I wanted to still, like, be liked by you. So I couldn't tell you that I was drinking. And I really wanted this whole, like, controlling and enjoying my drinking to work. But one of the things I've found out is that, like, when I'm controlling my drinking, I'm not really enjoying my drinking. So I hit a point where I was just, like, I don't know if you've ever heard this in meetings, but, like, in Orange County, they say it a lot. Like, I got the case of the fuck it, and I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna drink how I used to always drink. And so I went back to drinking heavily again, because that controlled drinking was really hard for me. And I was drinking at a bar in Newport Beach, which I don't know if anybody's, like, familiar with it, but it's, like, it's really nice. And so, like, they have police that, like, hang outside the bars to make sure, like shenanigans don't happen. Because, like, the police have lots of free time there, so they just kind of hang out. And so, like, I go to this bar and I'm drinking, and I'm with this girl. Like, so at this point I decide, like, I'm trying to, like, clean my act up. So I get a job as a hostess at a restaurant, and I, like, meet this girl. And so we're hanging out together, and she's kind of crazy like I am. So I was like, cool, this works out. But I don't really like her. So, like, when we hang out, I'm like, I got to drink really fast because she annoys me. And that's the kind of company I kept in my life. Like, I just, like, I didn't like, I had to drink in order to be comfortable around people, and usually people, like, irritated me. Like, I was just irritated all the time, and so I was like, you irritate me, but I also don't want to be, like, alone hanging out by myself, so as long as I drink enough, I'll be okay. So we're at this bar and we're drinking, and, like, this happens kind of a lot. Like, every so often, something snaps in me and I need to fight somebody. And, like, I don't know what drink it happens. I've never figured out if it's, like, any particular type of alcohol. I just hit a certain, like, I don't know. It's because sometimes I'm totally fine, and other times I'm not. So that was one of those nights when I was not. And, like I said, I wasn't really a blackout drinker, but for some reason that night I sort of blacked out a little bit, and I don't know, I went outside and I was just gonna, like, nobody was gonna fight me, and I was just really trying to find somebody to fight me, and I was getting really upset that nobody was trying to fight me, because apparently I just was wasted, and they were like, go home, drunkie, like, get out of here, and I was like, no, and so at some point I got irritated with a cop who was on a bicycle, and I started making fun of him, and he didn't like that very much, so he called for backup and was like, okay, we're going to take you in for public intoxication. And the story should have been, like, if I was a normal, sane person, should have been like, okay, I went in for public intoxication, I dried out, went home, cool. But because I just was already on one, I was like, no, I'm not going to jail tonight, and I'm going to get out of this somehow. And my way of getting out of it was, when they put me in the back of the cop car, I got my hand out of one of the handcuffs and I took off running. And I don't think I got very far, because they got me back on the ground. And I don't don't remember this, but according to the police report, I roundhouse kicked the cop to the shoulder, and so they don't like that very much. So they took me to jail, and I also got to like read the report of like all these colorful names I called the cop, and I'm really lucky that like nothing more severe happened to me, because like I was an asshole. Like I was just. And so I had like 2 counts of battery on a police officer, resisting arrest, and public intoxication. And I'm like this little white girl from Orange County being like, I don't know, like I've never been to jail before. And so like that really scared me. I was like, okay, this is bad. Like my drinking is taking me to a new place. Like before it was like, you know, I had these yets and that was one of my yets going to jail. And then I got to go to jail and yay. So I get out and you know, I'm really lucky because my mom, she gets an attorney for me and so I also, part of that, you know, for my case was to go to meetings and get a card signed. And so I went back to meetings and I went back to the same meetings that I had gone to before. And the women were like, we're so glad you're back, you know? And I was just a mess because I was terrified. I thought like, am I going to really like actually go to jail for real? And I don't know. And so, or am I going to end up, you know, having this charge on my record and what's that going to do for me? So they take me in and like these women are like surrounding me and really, you know, being like, it's going to be okay, but like really you need to get a sponsor. And so I got a sponsor. I asked one of the first women that like came up to me and I was like, will you be my sponsor? And she was like, yeah, call me later. And that woman ended up, I mean, she had to go cause she's like, she had a busy life, but she ended up being my sponsor for 5 years. And I'm really grateful for that woman because she saved my ass. And she would spend a lot of time on the phone with me and she would meet with me weekly and listen to my craziness and love me. And she was so gentle. Like I'm just so hard on myself and she was so gentle with me. I know sometimes you hear like sponsors being real like, I don't know, hardcore. And for me, like I needed somebody to be, you know, easy on me. Like she would still call me on stuff, but she did it in a way that was like loving and caring. And I'm really grateful for that. So, you know, I got sober and still that time I did not stay sober. I started working the steps. I worked the first and the second step and then I got to the third step and I was like, God, no thank you. Like, I don't need that. 'Cause like for me, like I had been like an atheist and so I had heard God in meetings, but like I didn't, like when I got to the third step, I was like, I can't pray to a God. Like, I don't believe in that. Like, I just don't. And then I relapsed. So it wasn't really working out for me so well either. And, you know, I spent another 6 months because, like, I had this really twisted thinking. Like, you know, my alcoholism for me is, like, it's a disease of perception. And so I have this really twisted way of thinking. So I'm like, all these young women that are around me, like they're in AA because they got there because of drugs, and I couldn't relate to that because my main problem was alcohol, and I was like, well, you know, like I come to realize now that like for me, no matter what substance it is that I put into my body, like I will use alcohol. Like, I won't even like it, and I'll just keep using it. Like I'm like, what's wrong with me? This isn't even fun. I'm not even enjoying this, but I can't stop once I start putting something in my body like that changes how I feel. With my twisted thinking, I thought all these young women around me, like their problem's drugs, like even though they're in Alcoholics Anonymous and they admit that alcohol is a problem for them, like I just needed to know like whether or not I was also a drug addict. So instead of drinking, I tried drugs this time. And that obviously didn't work out because I'm standing here sober today. So drugs also are a problem for me, but I had to go find that out the hard way, and I'm not really sure why, you know, I was like, oh, it's Alcoholics Anonymous, but I have to somehow know if I am also a drug addict. than I am, I guess. So I finally come back again, and this time I'm really beaten down. And this is in 2011, and I just woke up one day, and I had this, like, moment where I guess a moment of clarity, and I've realized that, like, my life is not getting any better, and honestly, like, dying scared me less than living. And I remember having that, like, really clear thought, like, if I die, like I'm okay with it, but if I keep living feeling like this, that's way scarier. And so I came back to a meeting, and the women, of course, brought me into the middle of the circle and was like, you're here, we're gonna help you, and, you know, we're so glad you're back. And and I went to detox, and I was in detox for 10 days, and I remember, like, this, I hadn't seen one of my, you know, one of the women that I knew from meetings until she came through on an H&I panel to share. And I was like, I was having a really hard time in detox, and I was really serious about getting sober, and I had my big book, and I remember just like seeing a familiar face in detox, because at this point, like, my mother, I call my mother from detox, and she, like, the words out of her mouth are you fucking kidding me, and hangs up the phone. Like, she was sick of me, like, you know, doing the same thing over and over again. And so I felt like I had nobody in my life. And, you know, and then these women come through on a panel, and, like, I hear a story of hope. And, you know, I'm sitting in detox, and I'm stuck on this, and I still remember it too. I'm stuck on this one page in the big book where it talks about, like, you know, selfishness and self-centeredness, that is the root of our problems. And I remember, like, that being an epiphany for me, like, really? My problem, like, thinking about myself all the time, that's the root of my problems? Really? Okay. And so I took the steps, and I was really committed to it. And I worked the steps because I was terrified of relapsing. And there were times when I wasn't fully convinced that I was an alcoholic. You know, I still had these moments where I would think, like, I'm young, maybe I'm not really an alcoholic, even though I've had all these experiences that should show me otherwise, maybe I'm not really an alcoholic. And I had those doubts in the back of my mind. But still, I worked the steps, I worked with a sponsor, I went to meetings, I had commitments, because, like, meetings down there, they just strong arm you into commitments, and they're like, you're gonna do this now. And but it kept me coming back, and I'm really grateful for that. And so, you know, I stayed sober for 5 years, and a lot of that is because, or all of that is because I worked the steps, and I had women that I sponsored. And and there were times that I just really didn't want to stay sober, but, you know, I would have, like, the sponsee call me and be like, hey, are we still meeting tomorrow to go work this stuff? And I'd be like, yeah, even though I, like, really want to drink. And in that 5 years, like, some really good things happened. Like, I graduated from college, and like, that was cool. And some really terrible things happened. Like, I got diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder that put me in the hospital for 6 weeks, and I had to have emergency surgery, and I was really sick. Like, I almost died sick, and that was really difficult. And I think I had, like, 3 years sober at that time, but I had support around me. Like, how do I get through this? What do I do? And honestly, it was like those really difficult times weren't the times that I wanted to drink. Because for me, like, I found, like, I'm just naturally, like, restless, irritable, and discontent. That's just who I am as a person, and I have to do a lot of work to change that, how I feel. And sometimes I get really irritated that I have to do so much. I'm like, man, I gotta go to these meetings, I gotta, like, actually do things so I don't feel this way. But on the plus side, like, now I don't get to feel this way. And that's really amazing. And so I ended up moving out to Bakersfield. I have family there. And when I move, I, you know, I, during the process of moving, I somehow get a resentment against Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, I'm uncomfortable in this new place, and meetings are different, and you guys don't do it right, and what are you doing? It's not so how it's supposed to go, because I'm like, I'm controlling, and I know best. Like, that's, for me, like, I play God all the time, and I think I drive myself crazy doing it, too. I still do it now, and I'm not perfect. Like, obviously, I have a year. Like, I don't have this thing down at all. But I got a resentment against AA, and I stopped talking to my sponsor, and eventually I stopped going to meetings. And I thought, like, I can do this on my own. Like, I'm not drinking. I'm staying sober. But very slowly, I got angrier and angrier. And then something clicked in my head where I was like, maybe I'm not really an alcoholic. And that's when I took a drink. And for me, my relapse lasted for 4 or 5 months, and you know, I'm really grateful because nothing really bad happened in terms of, like, you know, getting in trouble, like, with law enforcement, or like ending up in a mental institution, which was kind of like my MO. Like, nobody actually really even knew. All my friends are basically sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous, so I didn't tell any of them, because the minute I took that first drink, I knew I was an alcoholic. Like, all that doubt about whether or not I was an alcoholic, I knew from that first drink that I was like, I'm an alcoholic. Like, this, but I couldn't the next day go to a meeting and say I had took a drink, and so I kept drinking, but I kept lying about it too, and I was back to how I felt when I was 21 years old, where I was just insecure and like full of self-doubt and just miserable, and my world got really small. My life was really small. I didn't leave my house. It was an uneventful relapse, but it was really what changed for me, changed on the inside, and I realized that, like, for me, that's how I know I'm an alcoholic, because, like, I have this disease that centers in my mind, and when I take that drink, like, that first drink, like, I have an allergy of the body, and I can't stop, and so no matter what, like, I just keep drinking, but if I take the steps, like, that's my defense against the first drink. And so I finally get to make it back to meetings, and I go to my first meeting, and I introduce myself as a newcomer, and, like, that was hard. Like, that was a really humbling experience. And so, like, for the newcomers that are here tonight, when you stand up and you introduce yourself, like, that takes a lot of courage. And that kept me away from meetings for a long time because I just didn't want to, like, stand up and admit, like, I messed up, like, I took a drink. But that's what we do. Like, for me, I'm always impressed when alcoholics stay sober. Like, to me, when an alcoholic drinks again, like, that's what we do. Like, you know, unless we do a lot of work to prevent that. And so this last year has been a really good experience for me, in terms of working the steps. It's been a more in-depth process, and, you know, that whole God thing I've been able to resolve. I've realized, like, it's a God of my own understanding. It doesn't have to be of, like, this person's understanding or this person's understanding, because I had, like, huge resentments against, like, religion and religious people, and I got to, like, work through all of that, like, on my fourth step, and tell somebody about it on my fifth step. And for me, like, it's really all been about a willingness to believe in something bigger than myself. And really, like, that's just been my experience in the last year. Like, a lot of times I don't want to do most of what's asked of me because I'm a lazy person and I'm just resistant to everything. But I've had to learn, one, to pray for willingness, and two, to just be willing to either, you know, take the action or believe that this is going to work or just have some sort of willingness just to do it. So, today, like, I don't wake up with, like, that deep-seated anxiety where I just feel like a sense of impending doom, like the world is going to end like I used to. Like, today I get to wake up and, like, I don't think about a drink anymore. The obsession for me is gone, and I'm really grateful for that, because, like, the first time I got sober, it wasn't like that. It took me a long time for that obsession to go away. I'm not saying, like, go out to drink, that solved it, but for me, like, I had to have that experience to really show that I was really an alcoholic. And I don't know, like I said, as long as I keep coming back and I keep working the steps, and I work with other alcoholics, and, you know, I have a willingness to believe in a power greater than myself. Like, I don't have to take that drink again. So, thank you.